And now, from spectacular Northwest Montana, the Valley Broadcast Network presents the Valley Broadcast News with your host, James White.
Quiet me, do your host, James White. This is Valley Broadcast News, brought to you by Valley Broadcast Network on this fifth day of April, 2024. And we are coming to you, as always, live from Kalispell, Montana. And we appreciate you joining us here today on the show. We're going to cover a wide variety of topics. And you heard the opener there. That was from my friend Dave Von Kleist, who lives in Whitefish. It's about, I don't know, 15 miles or so from here. I was on his podcast, I guess, yesterday. We'll call it a podcast. He's on the Republic Network. And he was invited me out there to be on his podcast with him yesterday, and I was delighted to do so. And Dave, if you're listening in, thanks for having me out there. And of course, you're welcome here anytime on this show, of course, anytime you like. And Dave just called in a couple of days ago, and we'll probably call in again. So again, we appreciate you joining us here. We're going to cover some things going on here in Montana. First of all, especially as it pertains to the Supreme Court, we're at a crossroads here with the Supreme Court, and we need to actually start ignoring them. And I'm going to go over this here in a minute, but it's covered in this book right here. And this is going to be referenced probably several times, especially going forward. It's going to be referenced a lot. The Supreme Court's Confidence Game, the Lie of Judicial Supremacy. You can go right to the website and you can see, you can get this on Amazon for $15. It's well worth it. You get an insight on how this the bar is a cancer on America. There's no other way to put it. The bar is a cancer on America in every state, especially in Montana. All these bar card holders are trying to let me get into this. I'll get into it in a minute. Let's go over a couple of things here before I get too wired up, and I got a feeling I'm going to be in rant mode today. Just one of those days. I want to start off here with a press release. If you go to Valley Broadcast Network, you can check it out. ValleyBroadcastNetwork.com. Pardon me. Valley Broadcast Network strikes deal with Frank's Speech to broadcast block of programs on VBN television and live stream. That's correct. We, as a matter of fact, we're just texting this morning, and I'm waiting for the shows to be sent over, and we're going to put those onto the server, and I'll schedule those. But I don't know what shows they're even going to be yet. We're going to find out later on today. And we delighted to be involved with Frank's Speech there and Mike Lindell's group, his broadcast video group. And we're looking forward to having him on the network. We're delighted to be able to bring you some of the programs from Frank's Speech. And again, we're not sure which ones it's going to be yet, but I'm sure they're going to be quality, like most all the stuff there is, from what I've observed. So again, we'll be updating that as these shows become available. I'll be putting out the schedule and letting everyone know if they want to view them here in the area. And if you are in the viewing area here and you want to catch the let me go down here. If you want to watch it on antenna television, you can do so. Let me go back here to the website for a second. If you're in the Flathead Valley area or the Lake County area, you can just go right here to Valley Broadcast Network on the right-hand side. There's an indoor antenna and an outdoor antenna, and they're not that expensive. I think the outdoor antenna is like $50. It's got like 80 miles, which is plenty. It's plenty of range for you to be able to point it towards where the towers are. You can bring in the show on your television. And there's just so many ways to watch TV now, right? And here is the many ways that you can watch Valley Broadcast Network. Just go to the show links right here on the website. Go to show links and you can see Roku, Fire Stick, Apple, iHeartRadio, Alexa, Blog Talk Radio, which is working today. It was having a problem yesterday. And there's links here if you want to see where to find everything there. All right, we're going to talk, first of all, about the Montana Supreme Court. And this is the ruling from what I understand, the ruling from yesterday. And I hope this is ready to go. There we go. It is ordered that Montana Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson shall comply with 1327233 MCA and provide MSRR with a finalized sample petition for CI-14 no later than 1 p.m. today. It's further ordered, concurrent with providing the finalized sample petition, Jacobson shall file notice of such with this court. Now, how do you like the judicial branch pushing around the executive branch? You like those apples? How do you like that? So they're pushing around the executive branch now, and they were pushing around the legislative branch in the McLaughlin case. And here they're laughing behind the scenes. They're laughing every day. They laugh that this whole bar member con is continuing to go. People are just complying. Do you understand that Supreme Court has zero police force? What are they going to do if Secretary of State Jacobson ignores this? They're going to what? Have Austin Knutson have the Department of Justice arrest someone in their own legislative branch because of the on behest of another one? Do you understand that the Supreme Court, it's a con game. It's all a fraud. It's all a con. Not some of it, all of it. All of it. It's all a confidence game. They don't have nearly the – they have zero authority, zero authority to uphold their opinions, and that's what they have. They have opinions. But the other two branches just go along with it, and they can absolutely ignore them. That's what I actually texted Secretary of State Jacobson this morning on her phone. And said, it's my recommendation that you ignore the Supreme Court and have them send their police force to arrest you. Oh, that's right. They don't have one. They don't have one. I said, I'll fully support you if you ignore the Supreme Court. Now, I haven't got a response back from Secretary Jacobson yet, but that still stands. I'll publicly announce that. Ignore them. That's what we should try. Ignore them and see what happens. This is especially important to ignore them on this case right here. You need to call their bluff. Call their bluff, and you realize they have no teeth. Zero. None. No authority. Absolutely none. No police force. They have no military. They have no law enforcement arm or apparatus to come and arrest anybody. That's the joke. They laugh at us. Do you understand? They laugh at everybody because they continue to comply with the crooked Supreme Court and the bar, which is their crooked minions all over Montana, everywhere across the country. It's a cancer, folks. The bar is a cancer, an absolute cancer. You can find out all about it right here. Wrong button. Right here on Valley Broadcast Network. Just check it out. Is the Montana Supreme Court running a confidence game? Yes. We find out beginning tonight. That's when I launched the first episode. But you can go here to this page right here on the top, the Live Judicial Supremacy. And you can see the first four episodes that I've released here with the authors of the book. And it's not even in dispute. You don't have to do a whole deep dive into a bunch of evidence and have a Harvard degree to figure out they're running a con. It's all a con, all of it. It's all a fraud. They have nearly have these authority that they claim. What you have here is you have a coup by one branch of government over the other two branches. And the other two branches are just sitting back going, well, we don't really want people to think bad things about us. I guess we have to comply with the Supreme Court. No, you don't. Have some stones, would you? Stand up. You don't have to comply with anything the Supreme Court says. It's an opinion. Why don't you just try? Here's a novel idea. Try ignoring him and see what happens. I can tell you what's going to happen. Nothing. 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 They don't have a police force. Again, they don't have an army. They don't have law enforcement. They're not going to march their police force into the Secretary of State's office and throw in cuffs. There's a 0% chance of that happening. Zero. It's such a con and a fraud. I can't even believe that we're still being duped by it. It kills me. We don't have to listen to them, folks. If you're listening, you're a legislator, ignore them and see what happens. That would be, and here's why I don't think it'll happen, sadly. Why I don't think it'll happen? Because all three legs of these this is like the three legs of a stool. right? And they're all supporting each other. If you expose one of the legs of the stool and it goes, all the rest go down too. That's why they always comply. That's why they all kind of stick together, right? Because they know if it's found out that one of these branches of governments are committing fraud and you start digging into it, then people are going to start looking at the other ones going, hey, wait a minute. What else is going on around here? They don't want that. They don't want anybody to look into things. They don't want anybody to look into things. It's pathetic. You know, I just knew I was going to be in a rant mode today. Anyway, it is what it is. Frenchtown School District eyes mill levy to help with maintenance. This is from the NBC Montana. Administrators and school districts across Montana are struggling with budget as costs rise, and here's the kicker, enrollment decreases. Why is enrollment decreasing, even though Montana apparently is one of the fastest growing states that people are fleeing other places and coming here, yet enrollment is decreasing in schools? Why do you think that is? Because people are homeschooling their children. They're getting their children out of the government indoctrination centers. They're not schools. You call them schools, you're giving schools a bad name. They're government indoctrination centers, period. Full stop. They are government indoctrination centers. And people that have really realized on that and going, hey, you know what? I want my kids indoctrinated and brainwashed and propagandized every day, day in and day out. I'm going to homeschool them. We're going to take a little bit of a hit. We're going to have to take a sacrifice. We have to sell, you know, the lake house, whatever it is. But we're going to do it because we don't want our children going through government indoctrination centers. That's what's happening. That's why they have enrollment decreasing. Because it's quality. There's no quality left anymore in public education. It's gone. It's been taken over. It's been usurped. That's why. And what do they want to do? They want to tax you so they can keep doing it. They want to raise your taxes so they can continue indoctrinating children, because that's key. Do you ever notice like when a bad snowstorm comes? Okay, next time this happens, if you live in an area, just pay attention to this and try to observe it if you can. When a major snowstorm hits, what's the first place that they clear? They always clear the schools, parking lots first, and the routes to get to the school. They got to keep the schools open if they can, because the daily propaganda has to continue. It has to continue to pump out. That's why you have a slave society that doesn't have any ambition to fight back, because they've been dumbed down. They've been drugged in their water, in their food, what they spray in the air, not to mention in the mind. That's the place that we've been damaged the most, because this is where the battle is. And we've talked about this before on the show 10 times. Here's where your battle is, in between your ears here. That's where the fight rages every single day. And if they can infect you at a young age and start tainting your viewpoint and your life view while you're still in elementary, it just continues to keep them in power, because you continue to remain dumbed down and you never look into anything and realize these very people that you think are your saviors are your actual oppressors. Montana launches Get Covered Again for Medicaid disenrollments, and a lot of folks have been kicked off of Medicaid. Recently, in the last, I think, year or so, and they had some program, I think they kicked off, where they started doing some reevaluation of people on programs, and a lot of people, 125,000 people, have lost their coverage. And, you know, the sad thing is I'm for smaller government. I mean, I've talked about this on the broadcast many times. But the fact of the matter is, the government is one of the groups that are responsible for making people sick and ill. Right? Now, does that mean that they should have to cover them? In some cases, yes, I think so. Especially, for example, people that have been harmed in war or have been harmed by Agent Orange, which I know that's outdated and a long time ago, but Gulf War Syndrome or, you know, whatever, there's people that have been harmed by the government. Now, I don't necessarily know if these people are the ones that are on this Medicaid that are getting kicked off, but the fact of the matter is, whether you agree with it or not, you know, you're kicking 125,000 people off programs. Some of these people are just not going to be able to afford to have health insurance. You're just going to let them die. I mean, you know, some people, I think, on the far, far right would say, yeah, let them die. It's up to them, man. Hey, listen, it's a tough world we live in. Yeah, sure, it's a tough world we live in. But, you know, there's groups out there, if they had, you know, proper management and staff, can handle it. But what do you think we used to do? I mean, we didn't used to be as sick as we are now, first of all. So let's get that out in the open. We didn't used to nearly be as sick as we are. Have you ever seen these videos or these pictures of people, you know, back in the 60s and 70s in the beach? There's like not an ounce of fat on these people. I mean, seriously. I mean, literally. Every single person is like, you know, runway model or GQ cover guy. What happened? What happened to that world? Well, I don't know. High fructose corn syrup, additives in food, hidden sugars in the products, fake food. I don't know. I mean, remember, it used to be 93% of us used to grow food, and that was about, you know, we were about 93% farmers at one point, and now we're about what, 3%, 4% farmers. I mean, most people couldn't plant a crop out in their yard if you had a gun to their head. We've become so dependent on things. Like, you know, not only have we been dumbed down mentally, but our resourcefulness has been sort of dumbed down. We couldn't rely on things. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. Back when I was young and before we had any phones or anything like that, I mean, I literally could have probably 25 or 30 phone numbers memorized from people in my family, from my friends, you know, that type of thing. And now I have no idea. I barely remember what my own number is because it's all now electronically in the phone. So the smartphone has actually made us dumber. Case could be made. Now, sure, it's easy just to say something and have information be at your fingertips pretty quickly. And that's, you know, it seems to me, you know, you seem smarter because of that. But ultimately, you know, you probably would be smarter if you could actually take a good encyclopedia off, look through it, read through what it says, absorb it and take it in. But who's got time for that anymore? All right. I used to have quarters for payphones. We used to pull up next to the payphone. And those of you that are old like me can remember, pull up to the payphone and you have to make a phone. I mean, can you imagine how we even get around these days without these electronic things? And we've been slowly, you know, conditioned to rely on these things day in and day out. And I'm not saying overall, again, we talked about, you know, brought this up before, you know, technology as it increases is not necessarily a bad thing. It's who controls it and who monitors it and who, you know, who's the one that's in charge of shadow banning and censorship. That's the thing. If it was just a free and open, you know, everybody had their own, you know, everybody had the ability to say what they wanted to freely without being censored and without being doxxed and without, you know, having fear of retribution, it'd be a different story. But that's not the world we're living in, sadly. Here's a story that's just pretty pathetic and kind of maddening. D.C. jury convicts great grandma for walking around the Capitol for 10 minutes on January 6th. I'm not sure if you saw this. I actually tried to, I texted Roger Roots and he didn't get back with me. He's probably in the middle of doing legal stuff. But Roger Roots has been on the broadcast lots of times. He's, I think he's defending eight people there at, on J6 folks there in D.C. He's probably there now. I don't have any idea what's going on. If he would have gotten back to me, I could have had him come on the broadcast, but that's not going to happen today, perhaps next week. At any rate, D.C. jury convicts great grandma for walking around, and this comes from The Federalist, another good publication. After being strung up on charges by President Joe Biden's Department of Justice, a 71-year-old great-grandmother may be thrown in jail because she walked around the Capitol for a few minutes on January 6th. Rebecca Laverns was convicted on four counts Thursday after just 3 days of jury deliberation for entering the Capitol on J6. Laverns entered the building through an open door around 2:43 p.m., according to official statements of facts. Now, if you've seen this, she had a very tearful video that she put out. This woman, what's her name again? Rebecca Laverns. And she's facing up to a year in jail, and she's a grandmother, and she's not a young woman. I can tell you one thing. I know for sure that I don't feel any safer you know, tonight, if she's behind bars, I won't feel any safer. Pardon me. And most of you folks shouldn't either. This is not a, it's not a criminal. This isn't a grandma and a great grandma. And she walked on the Capitol. And, you know, it's sad that there's some people that, you know, on the left, if you will, I don't know what, you know, the, on the left, liberals, however you want to characterize them, that are going to be happy that this grandma got thrown in jail for a year for walking on the steps. I mean, you know, this is, again, this is another division. This is another, remember, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. We always have to keep that in our mind, the divide and conquer strategy. And as these things look more and more ridiculous, and you know they are ridiculous, it's preposterous. You know, you'd think that cooler heads would prevail, then they realize that she's a grandma and she's not like a threat to the country. No, because it's the narrative, right? It's the narrative. It's the division narrative. They have to have the division narrative, and the fear narrative as well is tied into this. You got the division narrative because now it looks like Joe Biden against, you know, MAGA or Patriots, or however you want to characterize this. They got that division. They got that division at play, going pretty much. Pretty much constantly, right? And again, I wish we would have had Roger Roots on the line here. Hopefully he texts me and I can just send him over the Zoom link, because he probably would come on. Or I could text him over the phone number to get him to come on. But the division, so we got the divide and conquer along with the MK Ultra fear-based mind control, because what people do is they see that this grandmother, it serves two purposes, more than two, but two that I can think of just off the top of my head here. It plays into the divide and conquer narrative, because now it's Republican against Democrat. And it also plays into the trauma-based or fear-based mind control, because now people are going to be fearful of speaking out and doing, it's just one more example. They've done it a lot, and they continue to report person that walked on the steps got this much time in jail. And, you know, this 46-year-old mother of three is now spending, you know, 4 years in jail because she walked through the cat. See how they keep putting that out there. And what that does is, again, it serves two purposes. It's divide and conquer. It divides folks. And also it stokes fear, because fear is a control mechanism. You understand that they realize the powers that be, if you want to call them the deep state, if you want to call them whatever you want to call them, whatever name you want to give them, they understand, they're very aware of the level of awakening that is going on all across the country. And they realize that the emperor has no clothes, and they, that is the biggest fear that they have, these people that pull the levers of power, is that the curtain's going to be drawn back and we're going to see that it's all just a big con and a fraud. And they're all cons and frauds. When people realize that, the con stops and their game stops. That's why they're working so hard and putting so much money and energy and time into continuing to keep us divided. And continuing to keep us, mostly, more importantly for them, distracted. That is another big component of their con is continuing to keep us distracted and keep our eyes off the real crooks, which are them. So we have some good news and some bad news. This, of course, is the bad news. The DC jury convicts great grandma. If you look at the next story here in the Epoch Times, a judge rebukes the DOJ arguments against the release of a January 6th defendant. Kevin Seafried received a 3-year prison sentence for obstructing an official proceeding. A January 6th defendant seeking to be released from prison was granted in part by the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia this week. The order, signed by U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden on March 26th, will grant the release of Kevin Seafried, a defendant convicted for his role in January 6, 2021, capital breach, pending the appeal of his conviction. This decision comes despite stark warnings from the Justice Department regarding the implications of such a move. All these folks should be let out as far as I'm concerned. There was no insurrection that happened that day. I mean, anybody that can stand behind and say that's true is just, they're either lying to themselves or lying to you. You know, now I'm not saying every single person's, you know, I can't account for the character of any of these folks, frankly. Well, save a few of them. But the fact of the matter is, we're not a better country. We're not a safer country when these people sitting behind bars being treated like animals, essentially. Anyway, we hope that they get that some justice is done. Breaking news here just popped up here on this page as I went over here. I'll break it with you. A 4.8 earthquake shakes the New York City area, felt across the Northeast. This is on the heels of a, let's see what this has to say. Well, I guess I can't see it here. So this is on the heels of a earthquake here just a couple of days ago in Japan. Everyone saw the videos. Now, if you follow any of the earthquake experts on Twitter, mainly, they've been talking a long time about how a lot of these this activity has almost ceased for quite some time, and a lot of pressure has been building up on these plates. And they are calling for, it's hard to call exact dates to some for some of these things, but they are calling for a mega quake. Don't know if that's going to be in the Cascadia region out there. I believe that's off the shore of Washington. They did a couple years ago, they did, I believe, a training exercise for potential, because if that fault is disrupted and there's an underground earthquake, let's say, off the shoreline of Washington State, and that west coast shoreline there, if that fault goes and there's like a major earthquake event, and that underneath there, under the water, the tsunami that is going to be created is something that, you know, perhaps could be out of a Hollywood movie. And it's not trying to fearmonger people. There's nothing you can really do about it. You know, I live here in Montana, and how many times have they talked about the Yellowstone? If the Yellowstone caldera, I guess you'd call it, goes off, I won't be living much longer after that. It's pretty much going to wipe this area out, essentially. It may not get all the way here, like the initial, the initial explosion or the initial concussion may not actually make it all the way here to the Flathead Valley, because we are in a valley and we're surrounded by mountains. But the ash that would come out of there would most certainly, they think it would be about 7 to 8 inches of ash here in the Flathead Valley. And if you're familiar with that volcanic ash, it's deadly to inhale. I believe it destroys your lungs, and it's got silica something, I believe. I can't remember the name of it. Not silicone. It's silicystic or silica something. I forget the name. Anyway, there's something in this volcanic ash that if it gets into your lungs, it will cut your lungs, and, you know, you'll die. Also, forget about having any machinery work, any your vehicles, any tractors, things like that. That is going to be non-usable, at least in the immediately. So yeah, it would just be an absolute, you know, apocalyptic disaster if that caldera went off here in Montana. They've been talking about it for a long time. Probably more likely than having that Montana the Yellowstone thing go is going to be probably the San Madrid Fault there, right around the Mississippi River Basin area there in Missouri and down in that south east area there. That I think it's this, not the San Andreas. It's called the maybe it is. I think the San Andreas is in California. So New Madrid. I think it's called the New Madrid Fault Line is what it's called, right down there. And that again, in the Mississippi River Basin area down there, you can look it all up on a map. That is probably more likely to have some activity, or this Cascadia Fault out here in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Washington. Those would be the two areas that I'd be most concerned with. Now, there is a plate that does run sort of through Montana here, and I do remember about 4 years ago, I was sitting at the kitchen table, and there was an earthquake that happened, but it was just a little bit of a mild shaking, and it only lasted for a few seconds. I don't believe that we're in Montana here, where we're at in the Flathead Valley, where that's susceptible as much as other places to the effects of a major earthquake. But they're saying it's a matter of time before it happens. I say they, the people that are 10 times smarter than me when it comes to these things, these geologists and these people that follow these earthquakes. And again, if you just look at some of the recent activity, you can see that it's described is that these, you know, pressure builds up on the plates, and these small earthquakes that occur sort of relieve some of that pressure. It's like a steam thing, like a steam. If you've ever cooked in a pressure cooker, you know, if you've ever cooked in a real pressure cooker, and it's got the dial on it and the steam that comes out, right? So, I mean, what happens to that steam, it just lets off some of that pressure, right? It lets off some of that pressure, or it'll blow up. I mean, you just think about it. Put a bottle of pop in the freezer and keep the lid on, the cap on, it's going to explode, most likely. Take the lid off, it won't explode, but all the pop will spew over the top because it has to relieve that pressure. Same thing with the Earth's crust and the, you know, that we're in a dynamic planet that's not stationary. It's moving, and there's underground lakes and rivers and aquifers, and I mean, it's just, we're moving, right? We're just a moving planet. We can't really feel it a lot and see it because a lot of it's happening underneath the ground, but we're moving nonetheless. And what happens is that sometimes, you know, plates get butted up against each other, and they have to, and the earthquake happens to relieve some of that pressure. That hasn't been happening so much over the last like six weeks or 8 weeks. And I don't remember the exact time frame, but it's been quite a period of time that these earthquakes that are, you know, usually occur to relieve the pressure haven't been occurring. So what's happening is, you know, that pressure cooker doesn't have that release valve, and that all that steam and everything is building up, and it's a matter of time before it blows. That's what they're predicting with this major earthquake. They're calling for it over 10 on the Richter scale is what they think is going to be developing and building. I'm not an earthquake expert. Don't claim to be. All I do is study the guys on Twitter and other places that are, and several of them are calling for some major earthquake activity. Now, David DeBine, who is a pal of mine, we used to do a radio show together. He's the Adapt 2030 guy, and he has been talking about the Grand Solar Minimum for a long time, and then when we get into that, there's going to be a lot of earthquakes and natural disasters and that type of thing. You know, we're in it now, according to all the data and the cycle, and we've talked about the cyclical nature of the actual universe and what nature operates in cycles, and we've talked about this. So we're on a cycle right now for, you know, lower solar activity, and you know, you have to watch some of David's stuff and just go to Adapt 2030. And I just really got to call David and have him on the show. That's just keep me in to call him, and I just forget, it's just so darn busy. But I want to have David on the show for an update. Super smart guy. He's a good dude. DAP 2030 YouTube channel is his channel, and I would recommend you go check that out. Okay. Nigerian film raises awareness about dozens of girls abducted from school in 2014. The kidnapping of 276 schoolgirls in Chibok, Nigeria, a decade ago, remains a haunting tragedy. And I don't know a whole lot about this case right here. 276 schoolgirls kidnapped. Islamist extremists broke into their school and kidnapped them. I'm saddened for that, for the those folks and their family. And I just came across this story now. I don't know a lot about that story, but I know a lot about this story right here. This is on, not the Supreme Court, starts in a minute. This is on the front page of Valley Broadcast Network. Oh, they are gone.
And now, from spectacular Northwest Montana.
Wrong button. So that is on the front page of the website, and we'll go over there and show you where that's at. That is the story of the missing indigenous women here. And Selena Not Afraid, pardon me, this particular documentary highlights Selena Not Afraid, and I've actually interviewed her, I believe it's her uncle, AJ Not Afraid, who used to be the chief of the Crow tribe. That film can be seen on the Rumble channel, or again, if you go to the homepage for Valley Broadcast Network, which is right over here, you can go down to the bottom right here and you can watch this film, They Are Gone. It's a fantastic film. Jonathan, can't remember Jonathan's last name, is the filmmaker, but it's shown on here when you start it. Anyway, go check that out. And it was a special viewing. This is the non-edited version, so it has some colorful language in it. This is not the one that's on television. This is just the one that's on. This is the one that's on the the Rumble channel. So if you want to check that out, it's a fantastic documentary. My hat's off to them for making that film. And we did some research about the missing indigenous women here in Montana. It's an epidemic, 20 to 1 to non-indigenous women. We've done everything that we can to expose it here. We've had guests on the show that have been, you know, in studio, but I had them blocked off out of camera because they were afraid for their safety. And I mean, it's a tremendous problem that's going on here. There's a lot of reservations here in Montana, and there's something going on because a lot of these Native American women are being kidnapped, or being disappeared, or you know, they just have come up missing and they just don't know where they're at. They can't find them. They're just, something's up. I don't know what exactly, you know, but something's not right. And back when Trump was president, I think Attorney General Barr came out here to, you know, look into the problem and highlight it. And, you know, I don't know if he's a good guy or not. I mean, I have my doubts, strong doubts that he's not a good guy. But anyway, it still goes on. And, you know, human trafficking and white slavery is just it's a big business. It's a big business. Tell you what else is a big business, COVID relief. Madison diverted $700,000 in taxpayer COVID relief to illegal aliens. What do you know? Madison is among several blue cities and states that used taxpayer-funded COVID aid for programs for illegal immigrants. A Wisconsin lawmaker is demanding answers from the city of Madison in the wake of a report showing the leftist enclave doled out hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal COVID relief funds to illegal immigrants. The decision to use pandemic relief money to assist illegal immigrants at the expense of Wisconsinites reveals the out-of-touch priorities of Madison politicians. And what do you think is going to happen to these people? Nah, probably nothing. Probably nothing. I can almost tell you probably nothing. And you know, that's what we're missing in this country. We're missing the justice phase, right? We know that some of these people are crooked, right? We suspected it. We've gathered evidence to prove it. We've presented the evidence to prove that they're crooks. And even here in Montana, in my Whitefish Credit Union case that I have been covering for quite some time, you have the evidence, and it's undisputable. It's following the code. It's funny that the Montana Supreme Court wants the Secretary of State to follow the code, and they don't. At any rate, you know that they've committed crimes, but there's no justice. There's no one to apprehend these crooks and put them behind bars for what they've done. See, that's that last phase. That last phase is what's crippling this country. The last phase being putting them through due process, of course. And then if they're found guilty of the numerous crimes that many of them committed, then they are going to be punished according to what the law says about the crimes that they committed. That doesn't happen. Again, look at the Ghislaine Maxwell list. She's the only one in jail, and none of the people on the list have been arrested. Or does that seem strange to anybody else? I mean, yeah, we're captured, unfortunately. How do you like this? This is, if you're a veteran, this is going to make you feel happy. Massachusetts governor's plan to fill former Boston veteran housing with homeless illegals. And again, it's another giving out the good stuff to the illegals. What is the plan? What do you think the plan is? Why are they so hell-bent on accommodating illegals? Why do you think? I mean, do we have a definitive answer? There's a couple of different speculations, and we talked about these some yesterday. But it's astounding to me that these elected representatives care more about, and it doesn't really matter what foreign country you're talking about, how much aid they're giving out, weapons, money to illegals. It's almost like Americans are the very last group on the totem pole. They're the lowest. They're the lowest. There's nobody lower. If they could put us under the dirt somehow, they would. And they're trying to with the COVID shot. They're trying to put us under the dirt. We are the lowest form of priority or life form in America to these folks as Americans. Yet, we put their yard signs by our house. We put bumper stickers on our car. We show up at their events and we cheer and clap and get... And we don't even realize that these are the very same people that are destroying us. Folks, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, break the conditioning. You got to break the conditioning. You've been programmed your whole life. I mean, literally, you know, the Matrix, for crying out loud. You know, I watched at least the first episode. I have the disc trilogy thing. You know, I bought it a long time ago, the Blu-ray. I just watched the first episode here, I don't know, a month or so ago. But, you know, when you watch The Matrix now, you view it with a whole different perspective than you did when you watched it the first time, or you should anyway. I mean, you realize that it's almost like a documentary. It's not a sci-fi thriller. It's almost like a predictive programming documentary or something, because I'm telling you, certain elements of that movie seem to be accurate to me, to the world we're living in now. Again, anything's possible, for crying out loud. Well, I know what they're going to do in Massachusetts, so they're going to fill the veterans' homes with homeless illegals. This is outraging people, of course. And as well as it should be, the veterans' home is vacant and scheduled for demolition. It will be able to house 100 families, illegal families in there. Great. In America. Red flag laws. Talked about them on this broadcast before. Pre-crime. They want to come and take your guns, and we're going to read the actual definition of what red flag laws are here just in a second. Well, hey, tell you what, let's just do it that way. 60-year-old man dead after police try to take his gun, enforcing red flag law. This is the governor our founding fathers warned us about. Toronto County man is dead after officers say he refused to give up his gun to police. Officers shot and killed him at his home. And we can actually watch this story here. I haven't previewed it, but I'm sure it's probably mainstream. It's going to. Orders us from the court. The court has ordered us to violate your constitutional rights. They've ordered us to violate your constitutional rights, and we're going to listen to them. Now, he didn't listen to them, and they shot and killed him. So this is red flag laws in action. And what are red flag laws? Well, let's take a look at the actual description of a red flag law. Let me make this larger so we can all read it. A red flag law allows individuals to petition the court to issue a protective order, requiring the respondents to immediately relinquish all firearms and ammunition, and giving law enforcement the authority to seize firearms from people who are deemed by the court judge to be a danger to themselves or others. All a con, all a fraud, none of it. They have no jurisdiction over you for that. None. Zero. Do you understand? I've done shows over and over and over and over again. It's all a con, a fraud, an administrative con, all of it, every single bit of it. The courts don't have the right to give the law enforcement to come to your house and violate your constitutional rights if you've committed no crime. It's pre-crime. It's pre-crime. They come and take your firearm because they are convinced you're going to commit a crime. Or they've been petitioned. Do you understand how unconstitutional that is? What about due process? Do you understand how vital due process is? No one pays attention to that, because if you started looking in due process and all these cases and all these court battles, you'd realize that 95% of the time, due process hasn't even been followed. No one cares about that anymore, hardly at all. This is ridiculous. This every bit of this goes and on the hands, the blood's on the hands of these police officers and the police force for trying to enforce these red flag laws, these unconstitutional red flag laws. You're supposed to be able to have due process before they take your life, liberty, or property. Due process, brought before a court, able to provide evidence, defend yourself, bring character witnesses in or witnesses in to help substantiate your case or your viewpoint. None of that happens. They show up, somebody petitions the court grants the cops the right to come and take your guns. No trial. You don't have a chance to defend yourself. You just better give them up, or you know what? We're going to shoot you dead. If you see it another way, let me know. Well, this is not to shoot you dead, but, you know, it will kill you over time. Did you see this? Now Band-Aids pose a cancer risk thanks to forever chemicals. I'm not sure if you saw this before. And who in the world is listening to this program hasn't at one time or another used a Band-Aid? And I'm talking about, adhesive strips are one thing, but Band-Aids, of course, a brand name, just like Kleenex and Q-tip. That's just basically taken over the market. When you think of a cotton swab to clean your ears, you think a Q-tip, no matter what brand you use. Major medical bandages, including from brands Band-Aid and Curid, were found to contain dangerous levels of forever chemicals linked to cancer. According to a new report, the chemical fluorine was found in over two dozen different bandages. The Daily Mail reports, PFAS chemicals are sometimes used to make adhesives, and investigators believe they are products of the normal manufacturing process. Fluorine, which is also used to make rocket fuel, can lead to skin burns and eye damage. but is most dangerous when inhaled. So there's fluorine in the bandages. And again, inversion world. The very thing you're supposed to put on to help heal you is what's killing you. Just like these, it's a good analogy for these freaking politicians. The very folks that are supposed to safeguard your liberty are the ones that are destroying it. You see, this is just a pattern that we're in. We're in a broken world. It's an inverted, broken world that we're in. Right is left, left is right, up is down, men are women, women are men. Do you understand? I can't even get over it sometimes. I just can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, I see it. I observe it. I study it every day. Sometimes I just can't get my mind around the madness. Wish I could. A lot of times I can, but sometimes I just can't. Just being honest with you. California fast food employee starts work day only to find out she's out of a job. We knew this was going to happen. Of course, they showed up at the they didn't want that. So they didn't want to ruin their Easter. The manager, the owner, didn't want to ruin the Easter of the employees. So they here it is. When making their way to work Monday morning, Navarro, who's one of the people here, Monica Navarro, when making their way to work Monday morning, Navarro and her team learned upon arrival that the restaurant owner had made the decision to close its doors for good. The owner, Lauren Wright, told Fox affiliate KHPH that this was the last thing they wanted to do, but knew by Friday night the business likely wouldn't be able to absorb the wage hike, and they didn't want to ruin their Easter Sunday. It would have been nice to have a notice so we could go out and get some applications. I could prepare them. The best I can honestly do is give them some references. So, there you see, once again, the examples of the absolute ineffectiveness. Another defeat for centralized government, centralized planning. All this stuff is broken. It's done. It's over. It can no longer be sustained. We need to get away from centralized government, go back to local government, go back to your mayors and your town, your city council commissioners. Couldn't think of the word. Your sheriffs especially. There's no more important person. Again, I say this almost on every show now. There's no more important person that you can fight for than a sheriff in your county that's going to stand up between you and the federal government and be that firewall between you and the federal government, which is what the sheriff's job is to do. We only got a couple of stories left here, and we keep getting this pop up here. Magnitude 4.8 earthquake shakes New York City area. We covered that. New York inmates will be able to view a solar eclipse after a lawsuit settled with Corrections Department, and that's key. I feel better now knowing that the inmates are able to watch the eclipse. Illegal alien deported 7 times, arrested for Ohio murder. This story is sadly played over and over again. People that have been let into this country illegally by, again, the very people that are supposed to safeguard our borders and safeguard our liberties have become the criminals and the perpetrators. I don't know what else to say. We're going to end here on a good note, if you can believe that one. California dog missing since the summer is found in Michigan. I never gave up, said the dog's owner. I put up over 1,000 flyers. I had a flyer on my back windshield. I wore her leash whenever I would look for her. A dog missing in California since the summer turned up more than 2,000 miles away in suburban Detroit. Police in Harper Woods responded to a call about a stray dog last week, picked up the terrier mix, and contacted an animal welfare group. The Grosse Pointe Animal Adoption Society said it quickly discovered the dog named Mishka had an identity chip implanted in her with information about her owners. And I've been to Grosse Pointe there many times. It's from my old stomping grounds there in Michigan. So it's a good story. We're going to end on that. And I'm sure these dog owners are very happy. This dog owner is very happy. He found his dog 2,000 miles away. He never gave up. And look, his perseverance paid off. It's a lesson to all of us. Perseverance pays. continue to stand up against tyranny, continue to speak truth, and don't be afraid. Until next time, James White, Valley Broadcast Network, saying bye now.